This is Chaim Bravender, Rosh Yeshiva of the Web Yeshiva. And we're going to try again to understand what happened with the Meraglim, what happened with the spies. So let's start from the Psukim in Dvarim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk HaBet HaKav Gimel. Now you have to understand, or remember, not understand, you have to remember that the story in Dvarim was told 38 years after it happened. 38 years after it happened, and it was told by Moshe. It was told by Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? It was told by Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is how he tells the story. Vatikrivu nelai kulchem. You all came towards me. Do you see it? Yeah, I guess I can. I request. Okay, here we go. I take this. Vatikrivu nelai kulchem. You see it? Vatomru? Vatomru. All of you came to me and you said, what did you say? Nishlecha anashim lifaneinu. Let us send people before us, spies. And they will dig up everything that you have to know about the land that we're about to enter and try to conquer. And they will repeat, they will bring back information, how the roads are, and how the cities are. And then the Pasuk says, Vayitav be'einai hadavar. That's what the pasuk says. Who is speaking? Who is speaking? Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking. I thought it was a good idea, he says. It's almost as though this story has been totally sanitized, right? They came, and they asked Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe said, hey, it's a terrific idea, and he sent them. This is how Moshe Rabbeinu tells the story himself. Now, in order to emphasize the Moshe Rabbeinu aspect of the story, you have to learn the Rashi a little bit. So Rashi says, they were all mixed up, and then he's going to explain what that means. That they were all mixed up. I don't know why this doesn't actually work. It says, further on in Dvarim, Perek, hey, this is Dvarim, Perek Aleph. It says, Vatikrivu nelai kol rashei shivtechem v'ziknechem. Vatomru hein heranu v'chule. He says, there's another pasuk where it says, who came to me? Who came? First, the heads of the tribes, the elders, etc. In other words, every group came on its own. It's only here in this pasuk, you all came together like a maddening horde. Otakreva aita hogenet. In Perek Hey, that's the way you're supposed to come. You're supposed to come, the good people, together, the heads of the tribes, the Zkenim. They should come as committees. They shouldn't come alone. Yiladim mechabdim et haskenim. At Parakei, the children gave the elders honor. Ushelachum lifnehem, and they went, the elders went before them. And the elders gave kavod to the heads of state, and they went before them. Avolkan, vatikrivun elai kulchen. You see the Rashi. Just a second. Vatikrivun elai kulchen. Berbuvia, all mixed up together. They just came as an angry horde, you know, not the way it's supposed to come. Yiladim dochafim et hazkenim, the children were pushing the elders, and the elders dochafim et harashim, they pushed around the... So Rashi is sort of like working hard, I would say, working hard to change the story that's being told by Moshe Rabbeinu in Perek Aleph. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you came to me and you said, let's send Rugby. I thought it was a great idea. Rashi, you read Rashi, Rashi says, oh, they came, but they were unruly. They were wild. They weren't kind. They didn't have proper midot, right? That's what Rashi says. That's what Rashi says. At a derech asher na'aleh ba, they'll teach us about the way. Okay, Rashi has trouble with that. He says, Be'ezer lashon hem midabrim. They'll come and they'll tell us what language they speak. It was like, what difference does that make? What difference does that make for the people who are... So you see that when Moshe Rabbeinu tells the story, he wants to tell it in a kind of sanitized way, that the people were not sinning by requesting to send somebody, right? To send people to be spies. Look at that second pasuk of Gilbayitav. And I, Moshe Rabbeinu, thought that this was a great idea. It was a great idea. Rekach mikem shneim asar anashim, ish echad ha-shavet. Right? Let's look at Vayitav Beinai Adavar, Rashi. You see the Rashi? Pasuk Kav Gimel, Vayitav Beinai Adavar. Like, great. Be'enai ve'lo be'enei ha-makom. I thought it was a good idea, Moshe Rabbeinu says, and Rashi says, the inference is, it wasn't God's, did not find pleasure in God's eyes. Me, I got along with it, but not God. Ve'im be'enei Moshe haya tov, lama amra betochachot. Right, Lama Amra betochachot, mashal la'adam she'omer lechavero, mechor li chamorcha ze. It's like a person who goes to buy, well, chamorcha could be a car in modern lingo. Amar lo hang, okay, you could buy it. Notno atali l'nisayon, will you give me the car for a test drive? Amar lo hang, sure, why not? Baharim Ukvot, will you let me drive the test drive in rocky terrain? Harim Ukvot, Malo, sure, why not? Kevan Shira'a She'ein Me'akvo Klum, since the buyer saw that the previous owner of the car has no conditions on the test drive, Amar Halokech Belibo, so the buyer said, he probably is certain that I won't find any problems with this car. Immediately he said, here, take the money. I'm buying it right on the spot. I don't need a test drive. Me'ata. Afani hodeti lidivrechem. And that's why I agreed, me'ata. Afani hodeti lidivrechem. I agreed immediately to do what you wanted. Shema tachzerumachem kishitiru she'ani she'eini ma'akev. V'atem lo chazartem b'chem. He says, I have my hope, and Rashi changes the story again. Again, what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? That Moshe Rabbeinu said, Vayitav be'inai hadavar. I thought it was a good thing. I agreed with you. So what does Rashi say? No, it's like the guy who wants a test. He wants to do a test drive at a car that he's buying. He says, well, you make me test drive it here, then test drive it there, test drive it. The other guy said, the seller says, sure, any place, anything as you want. So eventually, the buyer understands that he's getting a good deal, that he's not afraid of letting him do it any place that he wants. And I was hoping for the same thing. I hoped that if I would agree that you could send spies, if I would agree that you could send spies, you wouldn't send them. You wouldn't send them. I mean, like Rashi. You see, Rashi, he has this koach. He just told me a different story. I'm looking at the pasuk. I'm reading the words. And what comes out of the words for me is not what Rashi said. I said something else, something different. Said something different. So but the pasuk says, Vayitav be'inai hadavar. Which sounds to me like Moshe Rabbeinu thought it was a good thing to do. And Rashi says, no, didn't think it was a good thing to do. He was faking. He thought that if he agreed to send the Meraglim, that the people would be smart enough to know that there's no point to sending them. That's what Rashi said. So that's the story. That's the story that Rashi tells us in Dvarim, where the rendition of the story is given to us from Moshe Rabbeinu. Now I want to look at the way the Netziv, Netzali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin. Eventually, he was the Rosh Yeshiva for 40 years, but then the yeshiva closed. Because as you probably remember, the Russian government tried to impose a more liberal kind of schedule, more liberal kind of curriculum on the yeshiva. And then the Gedolim felt that they could, under those conditions, the yeshiva really wouldn't exist in any event, and they closed the yeshiva. The Netziv tried over a number of years to avoid closing the yeshiva and withstood the pressure, but eventually it became really impossible. But in the yeshiva, the Netziv gave a shiur in Chumash every morning after davening. And that shiur in Chumash eventually became his commentary, which was called Ha'amek Davar, right? You know, a more incisive kind of reading of the Psukim, which was published and I think is a very popular kind of perush. So let's look at what was not from the end of the story. Go back one page, Ezra, page five. 1 second. Yeah, thank you. That's great. That's great. Now I'll try to do this as to annotate. As to annotate. Start annotating. Okay, I'll do that. Here. Oh, no, I have a bad color for that kind of. I could do this. Vayikra Moshe Loshe Abinun Yoshua. So at the beginning of the Parsha of Shlach, we're going back to our Parsha. The beginning of the Parsha of Shlach, this Parsha of the Shavua, there's a list of the names of the people that were sent by Moshe Rabbeinu to be Meraglim, to be spies. And at the end of that, the next Pasuk, which is Pasuk Tet Zayin, it says, Vayikra Moshe Lehoshea Binun Yoshua. You see those words? Moshe Rabbeinu called Hoshea Binun and Yoshua. Now, this is not like other people whose names were changed, like Avraham and Sarah and Yaakov. Their names were changed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Their names were changed. And there's another difference. Avraham Avinu's name was changed conclusively. Sarah's name was changed. Conclusively, Yaakov's name, he got another name, Yisrael, but then he had two names. Sometimes he was Yaakov, and sometimes he was Yisrael. So there's a lot of thinking that goes into understanding why, what the change of name is, and why there would be a change of name. So the Netziv, this is the Netziv that we're about to read. Yadua HaMedrash Perush Rashi. So the Netziv reminds us of what Rashi said. Rashi said, based on the Gemara and Sota, right? Yadua HaMedrash Perush Rashi. Yud Hey. Now, if his name is Yehoshua, so it starts with the letters with Yud Hey, which is a rendering of the name of God, Yoshi'acha, right? Mi Atzat Miraglim. That God, he called him Yoshua because he wanted to make sure he knew that God hopefully would redeem him from the advice of the Meraglim, and that's what happened. He and Kalev were the only two who spoke positively. Everybody else seemed to speak negatively. But the Netziv said, Hupela. He says, I don't understand. Hupela, it is a wonder. I don't get it. Im yadam Moshe, shemeraglim yikalkulu kolkach. If Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the outcome of this would be so terrible, that he had to daven or give Yoshua a prayer to make sure he would stay on the straight and narrow. Lo hayalo lishalcham. He says, so why did he send them? Why did he send them? I mean, it's true that the Rashi that we learned in Devarim said Moshe Rabbeinu thought he could trick them into not sending them, but he didn't explain to us what the problem was. Here Rashi says, no, it was a real problem. Lo haya lo l'shalcham, ela kacha davar. But you have to understand the situation in the following way. The kvar nikra Yoshua b'milchemet Amalek, that after all, his name, this is not the change of his name, because he was already called Yehoshua in the war of Amalek. The war of Amalek was right after they left Mitzrayim. Right? It was right after they left Mitzrayim. And he was called Yoshua in that battle. Umize hatam sheit palel Moshe alav sheyoshio b'milchamto. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu used that name, Yoshua, as the name that protects Yoshua bin Nun during war, because that already took place. It took place already in the battle against Amalek. In the battle against Amalek, Yoshua won, but he was protected by that kind of prayer. Et valer Moshe alav she Yoshio b'milchama. Ach lo haya zeh Hashem. Ki im lisha'a, he says that name was applied to Yoshua only temporarily. But after that temporary application, it became his name. Lisha'a zo bishat milchama. It became the name that he used when he led the people in battle. Bishat milchama. You see those words at the time of a war. V'achakach nishtaka ze Hashem. And after the war, people kind of forgot about that name and didn't use it. They didn't use it, and Yeshua was called Hoshea. V'chazru v'karu oto Hoshea. They called him generally Hoshea, not Yehoshua. They only called him Yehoshua when Moshe Rabbeinu rejuvenated the name, right? Ad otasha'a She needs Barer, says, what happened? Why did they change his name? Why change the name? At Otasha Ashnit Barer, until it became clear to all the people, She Yehoshua Machnis Yisrael Aretz, that Yehoshua is the man who's going to bring B'nai Yisrael into Machnis Yisrael Aretz. Right, Yehoshua Machnis Yisrael Aretz. Im al yedei nevuat el dadu meidad. Remember last week's parasha Baalotcha. There's the story of Eldad u'Meidad. So Eldad u'Meidad had a nevuah, had a prophecy. Remember, the prophecy was that Moshe would die, and that Yehoshua would take them into Eretz Yisrael. So the tzeiv just says, how did Moshe Rabbeinu know that Yehoshua was going to take them into Eretz Canaan? Well, either perhaps because of the nevuah, of the prophecy of Eldad u'Meidad. What was the prophecy of Eldad u'Meidad? Im bizeh, that Moshe made with Yehoshua Machnis. Im bizeh shehevin Moshe, and maybe Moshe Rabbeinu understood that the entrance into Eretz Canaan would not be so miraculous as their stay in the Midbar. The Midbar was really miraculous. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that he wasn't so necessary. In a world of the Nes Galui, of the obvious miracle, you needed somebody like Moshe Rabbeinu to lead the orchestra, not just to lead the people, but to lead everything that was going on. But if they're going to move from the state of Nes Galui, an obvious miracle, the state of a hidden miracle, right? It's B'dech Nes Niglekokach. Sharei iskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu lameraglim. After all, what does it say in the pasuk? That God agreed that you could send the meraglim. So why did God agree that you could send the meraglim? So according to the Nesiv, the reason that God agreed was because God knew that the world of Am Yisrael was going to change. And with it, you needed a different kind of leadership. You didn't need the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu anymore, but you needed the leadership. You would get the leadership of Yehoshua ben Nun, who was much more connected to reality. V'im kein, yiye al yedei Yehoshua, that Yehoshua would become the leader, bercho lechalutin b'zeh Hashem, and he blessed him to have that name always, the name Yehoshua, right? Yehoshua. So that what the Netziv is saying is that there was a time when Yehoshua was the name he used when he took the people out to battle in the world of the Nes Galui, of the obvious miracle. But in the world of the hidden miracle, right, the name Yehoshua became the real name, the real person who would lead them, and not just the person who was a follower of Moshe Rabbeinu. Miyu nismach zeh Hashem lekan, and therefore, this name change took place here, where there's a list of the people who are meraglim, because they're the ones who wanted to go into Eretz Canaan in order to find out what was really real about it. Lelamdeinu Shebizoa tefila nelchemet nechlal milchemet hayetzer gamken, and furthermore, to teach us, as the Netziv thought, that what happened was, like which he explains, we'll see it in a minute. Why was it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed? What did God agree to? What God agreed to was to allow this to become a free will decision. They were able to decide that right now they didn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Yisrael. That was the decision that was given to them. Now, if you go back to the first page of the text, which is, I think, page 2, we'll do this right. The beginning of our parsha. Here we are. I mean, we learned all kinds of things. We have it in our heads, and now we're going to learn the parsha. We're going to learn our parsha. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor, Shalach lecha anashim. It sounds like God agrees. That God says, send them. V'yatur Eretz Kanaan, and they'll look over the land of Canaan. Asher ninotein lebnei Yisrael, Yishechad, Yishechad, lebatei avotav, one person for each tribe, Tishlachu kol nasi bahem, kol nasi bahem. Rashi. I've got to do this again, right? Rashi says, Shlach lecha anashim. No, I can't do that. It takes me a little time to fool around with my computer here. Yeah, I was born too early. Lama nismicha parashat Baraglin the parashat Miriam. Rashi asked this kind of question here and there, and he usually asks it because he can answer it. We have to say, Rashi's not going to answer your question just to annoy you. He says, Lama nismicha, why is there a connection between the parashat at the end of Baalotcha, which is the parish of Miriam and Aaron talking Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu? What's the connection between that parish and this parish, the parish of the Meraglim? Lefi shelakach shelakta al iske diba, since Miriam was afflicted, she was punished because she spoke Lashon Hara, she dibra ba'achia, the Lashon Hara that she spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu. Urisha'im halalo ra'u v'lo lachu musar. And these bad guys refers to the Meraglim, the spies, they saw, they heard, they knew that that's what Miriam did. And lo lakum musar, and they did not accept the implications of what they were about to do. The pasuk says, "Shlach lecha anashim." Right? Shlach lecha anashim. Rashi says, "Shlach lecha ledatcha." Ani eini mitzaveh lecha. Don't make the mistake of thinking that God wants you to send meraglim, but it's your choice. So if it's Moshe Rabbeinu's choice, how come he did it? Didn't we learn in Dvarim that it was the used car image? I mean, he fooled himself. Why couldn't he just say no? Why couldn't he say no? Shlach lecha latid, ani eini mitzaveh lecha Rashi. Im tirtze shlach. If you want, send them. So why did he send them? Lefi shebau Yisrael v'amru. Right, Bnei Yisrael came and they said, "Nishlecha anashim lefaneinu." Let's send people, anashim. Let's send the people we want to send. Kemo shneemar, "Vatikrevu elai kulchen." You all came to me. UMoshe nimlach bashkila, and Moshe Rabbeinu asked heaven what to do. Nimlach means to consult. Shechina, of course, is God. Amar ani amarti lahem shei tovah. I said, I did what I could do. I told them that going to Eretz Israel is great. Tovah. Shenemar, and he quotes a pasuk, Ele etchem me'oni mitzrayim. I mean, that pasuk is really God saying that. God, Moshe Rabbeinu, they both agree. Ani amarti lehem shehi tova. I told them shehi tova. So if God said shehi tova, God said shehi tova, shene'emar, ale etchem me'onim Mitzrayim, chayehem she'ani noten lahem makom let'ot b'divrei ha'meraglim leman lo yirashua. So like there's a lot packed into that two lines in the Rashi. Rashi says that Hashem said, Shlach Licha Anashim. There's nothing to do with heaven. L'datcha. Ani eini mitzaveh lecha. I am not commanding you to do it. Im tirtze shlach. If you want, send them. Why is God so unhappy with Bnei Yisrael? Lefi shebao Yisrael v'amru nishlecha anashim lifaneinu. Kemo sheneemar b'tekribu ne'lai kolchem u'moshe nimlach b'shechina. Moshe consulted with heaven. Amar, God said to him. In other words, Moshe consulted with heaven. It probably means that Moshe Rabbeinu tried to convince heaven that they should be more forthcoming, more supportive, more helpful. You know, like the people who are supportive and they don't stop supporting until they get really into a bad situation. I mean, supporting is not always the solution. It might be a good thing to do. So Moshe Rabbeinu was looking for support. Moshe Nimlach B'Shechina. He went to discuss it with God, to consult with God. What is Moshe Rabbeinu consulting with God about? Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to forge a kind of a position in heaven that is more accommodating to Bnei Yisrael. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, as we saw in the Rashi, in Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that this was a bad deal, that something bad would come of it. And then here also, Rashi said about Hoshea bin Nun, right? He had to daven for him. He had to daven for Yoshua. And that's why he called him Yoshua. But look here, it says, Ani amarti lehem shehi tova. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said to Bnei Yisrael shehi tova. That should be good enough for them. That should be clear. A statement directly coming from heaven, whether it was filtered through Moshe Rabbeinu or not, it doesn't matter. God told them, Yitova, that this is a good place to go to. Shene'emar, ale etchem, li'odi Mitzrayim. Not only will I give you many money, but I will bring you up. There'll be a kind of a qualitative difference in the world that you live in. And they are now saying that they're not sure. They're now saying that they want to send meraglim. They want to send spies. The spies might cancel the deal. Chayehem is like a work of a taking an oath. Shani noten lahem makom lit'ot b'divrei ha'meraglim. Leman lo yishirashur. So I return, God says, I return this matter to a matter of free will. I give them the option. And I realize that I know that they're going to fail. I know that they're going to fail. Because they're kind of enamored by this idea of sending meraglim. So again, it's not clear. But it is clear about Rashi. Rashi thought it was a bad idea, and Rashi thought that they had sort of like convinced themselves that they wouldn't follow the dictates of Moshe Rabbeinu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at them and certainly did not encourage them to send meraglim, but enabled them to falter, which is something else entirely. They were enabled to falter, to fall on their faces. Okay, next page, we've got to do the... There's a long introductory comment. Here it is of the Hamekdavar. Hamekdavar. On the sheet, those of you who have the sheet, we'll do a good part of it. And it seems, I told you, the Rosh Yeshiva Volozhin for 40 years, approximately, the son-in-law of the previous Rosh Yeshiva, he wrote, besides his Perush HaChumash, he also wrote Tshuvot HaLacha and a commentary on Shas. Not every part of Shas, but five or six volumes were published, called Merome Sadeh. The Amek Dover. You see it? Shalach Lanu Anashim. Wait, did I do this? Oh, yeah. One second. Okay. Shalach Lanu Anashim. Perish Rashi. So he quotes Rashi, "Lidatcha, ani eineni mitzav elecha." That's what Rashi said. That God said to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to make God a partner in this enterprise. He says, "No, you know, you're on it your own." Vaday l'shon shlach lecha, eino b'mashma. He says, "The word, the way the pasuk is written, that's not the obvious meaning." Right? The idea of adding that lecha, and it means that it's a command. It's a mitzvah. Shehu mitzvah k'mashmao. I mean, so how does Rashi get it? How does Rashi get that idea? Ela ha'chreach lefaresh ha'chi k'mevo'ar b'sefer dvarim. He says the reason that Rashi thought that he had to do that, to make that kind of a comment, is because at the beginning of the book of Dvarim, which we saw, Shemitchila, Ach Hema Yisrael Bikshozot, that at the beginning it was the people themselves who came and asked for this kind of result. Avol Mikomako. This is like lingo of the Netziv. Mikol makom, in any event, Iyafshar la'akem gam zeha mikra legamre. He says, okay, I understand that Rashi wanted to make the two sources fit together. And in Devarim, it sounds like they came. And here it sounds like God sent him. So Rashi wanted to put it together somehow. But the Netziv says, okay, he's not complaining about Rashi, but he's saying the Pasuk still exists as it was written, Shlach Lecha Anashim. It sounds like a command. So how do we accommodate that in our understanding of things? How do we accommodate that? Aval mikol makom iyev shalakem gam zeha mikra iyev. It's impossible to leave this pasuk just crooked. Zeha mikra, this pasuk legamre. Vein mikra yotzei midei pshuto. There is this statement here and there in the Gemara that a pasuk, there's always a pshat interpretation, even if for some reason you are including the non-pshat interpretation, but the pshat is always there. You have to find it. Od yesh lasum leiv. Furthermore, you should think about, like consider, ma ra'u Yisrael b'kan lezeh v'lo b'yotam b'choreiv. I mean, why did they wait to take a trip into the desert? Why didn't they just tell Moshe Rabbeinu when they were in Choreiv, in Har Sinai, that they should send meraglim? Kacha inyan, he says, I want to explain a few things. Let's explain a few things. Vaday lefi halichot olam, it's certainly true that if you think about the ways of the world, olam hateva, nature, ayah sholeach nachutz lirot, eich uveizet tzad lichbosh et haaretz. It seems to him that it seems that sending meraglim is a perfectly reasonable thing to do, even if you're supported by a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Because even if you're supported by a Kaddish Baruch Hu, you might have to make decisions left to the right. Do I do attack frontally or kind of more? I mean, I know I'm going to win, but why not do the best possible resolution? Gemoshe Katav Ramban, and he quotes the Ramban, who said, "Uchemevoar b'leshon Yisrael shamru," and you understand this from the words of Bnei Yisrael in Dvarim again, "Nishlecha Anashim lefanenu v'yachpuru lanu et haaretz v'yashivu otanu davar," and they'll bring back information by Yeshivu Otanu Davar. Et HaDerech Asher Na'aleba, which road do we go on? Et HaArim Asher Lavo Alehem, Arei Lo Bikshu Ladat HaTova Hi Imra'a. This is the Ramban. The Ramban says that you could see from the language and the conversation and the charge to the Meraglim, to the spies, that they were really going to find out things that you would like to know. That they didn't think incorrectly about it. Vod kama dvarim in ra'ui likanes la'aretz Yisrael olo, is it reasonable to go into Eretz Yisrael at this time or not? Lo hishtapku adayin bazeklal, they didn't really know. It wasn't like they were questioning, going. Rak ladad eich kavshu. They just were interested in the military aspects of things. You can't just go to conquer a country. You have to know something. Vizeva dai ra'ui umuchrach. This is certainly true. And here's the Netziv's like notion that he's going to use. He says that this is certainly true if HaKvisha, if the conquest of Eretz Yisrael is B'derech HaTeva. In other words, God may have promised us Eretz Yisrael. And God may have promised that we'll be victorious in the battle that we wage. But that doesn't mean that there won't be a battle. And that doesn't mean that if we check into the matter and discover what the best way of dealing with the Kibush in Eretz Yisrael, that won't be good for us. That'll certainly be good for us. Aval imu lemala me'ateva. But if we're still in some kind of position where we're above Teva, meaning we're all with God, which is the way they were going until now in the desert, there's no reason for anybody to send Meraglim. You only need Meraglim if you're in the Teva. But if you're not in the Teva, you wouldn't send Meraglim. She'ein davar chotzeitz b'fnei tiferet uzo yitbarach. Nothing can stop you if you represent the glory and the power of God. Hinei be'amdam b'chorei b'tchilat nesiatam misham. Ayab be'emet, this is when they were still in Chorev is Har Sinai, v'tchilat nesiatam misham, when they started to move away, ayab be'emet b'datam Likanes b'zeh ofen le'eretz Yisrael. They really thought that this would be the way they go to Eretz Yisrael with God, agents of God. Ve'ein tzarich l'shlichut klal. They didn't think that they needed shlichut at all. He's trying to answer the question of why didn't they do this immediately? Why didn't they say they want to send? Well, because in the beginning, when they were still at Choreb, still at Har Sinai, they were living in a privileged world. They were living in a world with God, and they didn't even imagine that they needed shluchim or meraglim. Shein davar choseit v'pnei tiferet uzo v'hinei ba'amdam b'choreb b'tchilat nesiyatam misham. They thought that this is what they'll do. They'll just walk into Eretz Israel and everything will be fine. They don't need to send meraglim. Is when they started to travel in the desert, and they went on these three trips that are recorded in the Chumash. And they looked and they saw ki kasha lehem la'amod b'zeh ha'ofen, and they saw that somehow they can't really do it. Vasher al pi gilui shechina shebekirbam ma shemidabrim shelo kahogel hu b'aznei Hashem kimo shemidabrim b'paltin shel melech. They saw that whatever they do that is wrong. They're like talking to God. They can't really live up that. They can't really live up to that kind of standard. V'alam yicholim la'amod b'zehirut Torah kazo v'lo matzu atzmam mukhsharim la'amod b'eichal shel melech malchei melachim. Alkein bacharu la'amod b'chutz v'ashchina tiye b'kirbam b'midat malchut. And they decided that they wanted a change in status. U'chamoshe bi'arnu b'sefer dvarim v'pasuk panim b'panim v'dir Hashem imalahem d'mashma'o d'panim sh'adam Yisrael mitnahegim avodato livnei Hashem va'oto panim. As it would turn out that we can now understand a little more. When in Devarim the people came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, let's send miraglim. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Vayitava davar." I thought it was a great idea. So the way he understands it, the way the Netziv understands it, why did they come to ask to send meraglim? They asked to send meraglim because they realized that they were not prepared to go in the state of me'al hateva, but they wanted to go in the state of being part of the Teva, being part of nature, being part of the way the world works. So if they're going to go to conquer Eretz Canaan in the way that the world works, they knew that they would have to plan for the battle. They'd have to plan what they were about to do. So they took a risk. And the risk was that they were going to send meraglim. The meraglim, in turn, provided them with a risk. Moshe Rabbeinu then went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Look, they came up with this idea. Do you think I should send the meraglim?" HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "It's not my issue, it's your issue. Because they are going to be liable to being undermined. They are liable to being undermined by the free choice that they make." And so Moshe Rabbeinu understood that it was a problem and that salvation could come to some extent from Yoshua ben Nun if he rejuvenated the name Yoshua, which was the name that he used when he attacked when he attacked the Amalekites. And if you remember, several weeks ago, we talked about the introduction of the Netziv to the Book of Bamidbar, where the Netziv points out that the Book of Bamidbar is called by Chazal in two places, with the Bahag and in Masechet Sotah. The Book of Bamidbar is called Sefer HaPkudim. Pkudim is sort of like counting. You notice things. And it's true that Bnei Yisrael are counted twice in the Book of Bamidbar, once in Perek Aleph, that we have learned already, and the other time in the Parsha of Pinchas, which we haven't gotten to yet in the Kriyat HaTorah, in the Beit HaKnesset. And so the Nesi said, "What happened? Why do you have to count Bnei Yisrael twice?" And we usually say that God counted Bnei Yisrael because of affection that he had for them. It's like when you own a jewel or something very valuable, you like to look at it, you like to hold it. That's his explanation for counting. But the Nitziv points out that these two countings are very significant. That the first time Bnei Yisrael are counted in the Book of Bamidbar, they're counted because they were at Horeb and at Har Sinai, and many of them died because of the Chet HaEgel, so that it was something that was necessary. They had to know how many were left, how many were there in Am Yisrael. But the second time, the Pinchas, is after the Meraglim, and after the change from being part of the Olam of the Shekhinah, Tiferet Tuzot, to being part of the world, by being part of the world of Teva. That the world of Teva is the way they came into Eretz Yisrael. And so they were counted over again, because the people who were counted in the beginning of the Book of Bamidbar belonged to a different tribe than the people who were counted at the end of the Book of Bamidbar. And this change took place around the Meraglim, when the people, apparently, according to the Nesiv, themselves wanted to be part of the Teva. They couldn't take it. They couldn't take being on such a exalted level all the time. You have to understand that tzaddikim also have difficulty, because they have to be tzaddikim all the time. The non-tzaddikim have it a little easier. You don't expect the non-tzaddikim to always be the same. And so Bnei Yisrael decided, according to the Nesiv, that they didn't want to be part of the world of Matan Torah in a real sense. But the real of Matan Torah would ultimately be exchanged for the learning of Torah. Learning of Torah can be, even though it's the attitude is special, but the reality of it is Teva, is the world of Teva that he talks about. So that the fulcrum around which that turns is the sending of the Meraglim. Not even what the Meraglim said. By the time the Meraglim come back and say whatever they say, it's not relevant. We understand that just by sending the Meraglim, we knew that Yoshua would not be able to overcome everything, but he would be part of the salvage of Am Yisrael over a period of 38 years in the desert. And that's all because of the Meraglim. I told you at the beginning, I think, that we will have to discuss Yoshua ben Nun and his sending of Meraglim on another occasion. Have a wonderful